Hey everyone, welcome to the Challenge Invasion Rehap Up podcast, talking about the reunion of quite a season. I am Allie Lasher, painfully hosting the show. And so in place of Brian this week, I had to bring in the big guns, the great Angela Bloom. Angela, how you doing?
Big guns.
You are the big guns.
I'm doing well. I am doing just all right. I stayed up. I watched the challenge last night, and then I watched the challenge champs versus pros, and I committed. This has been quite the season, so I've been thoroughly entertained by the nonsense. So I'm stoked to be here to chat with you. I'm also stoked to be chatting with you. I have missed you so terribly.
I strive for just all right. So you are goals for me right now.
Yes. Hashtag goals.
I always use any excuse to get you on my podcast to just talk nonsense. I was pitching it to you, but I don't know why I was like worried you were going to say no.
Unless I wasn't here, that would be like a reason. Like, hey, like I'm just not in town. I'd be like, can't. Like, even so, I'd be like, well, I don't have a microphone, but like my laptop's all right. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I could do it.
I literally was like, it'll be so quick. You won't even know like we did it. It'll be fine.
I'm like, it's be there. Fine. It's like, this is like the highlight of my day. Faux show.
So we had you on about Are You the One, but now we have you on talking about the challenge.
Yes.
And you said you liked the season, but what are your general impressions? Because this is the first full season you've watched?
Yeah, so I've seen bits and parts of seasons before, but I mean, I'm sure for people that haven't heard me on this talking with you, whether it be on Are You the One or other varieties of your podcasts, I'm not the biggest fan of like the challenge, not like the challenge TV show, but like the challenges internally of the TV shows, like the competitive aspect of it. Like they make me very anxious. So sometimes I get, in the past, I was always a little hesitant to get into the challenge, the TV show proper, because that was always my least favorite part of things like Are You the One and Survivor. So I was, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to like it. And then over the past few years, I've just been like sort of like easing myself into it. Like, for instance, I'll like watch it. And then like when they start doing the challenge part of it, I'll be like, I'm just going to like wash the dishes or, some, you know, like I watch it for the nonsense and the drama. So, I mean, that's like the best part, of course. And then it's sort of they've edged a little bit backwards from the challenges as well. They're not as long and heady as they used to be. I think they're a little easier to watch, just from an anxiety perspective, or at least for me. Like I'm more able to watch them. This season I watched in full. And I enjoyed it. I felt like it was like the people and the character wise was fun. I feel like the premise was a little whacked out. And I think that I feel like I'm not alone in that. The whole what did they call it? The tent that they lived in for the shelter and all of that nonsense. Like they took a little while to get started, but once they got into the oasis with the champs and the rookies and all of that, I felt like it was good. So I enjoyed it. I feel like the end was satisfying. I feel like if either of the other two had won, I would have been not as satisfied, but big fan of CT. Ashley, I was happy with that she won. So I don't know. Yeah. That's
all right.
That.
So we have you on for the perfect episode, I think, then, to just recap the nonsense. No challenges in sight here.
Yes, exactly.
But one thing, newer viewers like yourself, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in the audience here, or a couple, maybe two people who are listening. So maybe one of those two people haven't seen far back the history of the challenge to know who the Miz was. Do you know who the host of the show was?
No, so I didn't know who the host of the show was, but I was watching this with Mike, the other Bloom, Mike Bloom.
The lesser Bloom,
husband Bloom. And he knew who the Miz was and he gave me like the lowdown. And then I fell into the pit that is Google and I looked him up and like did all my research. So, yeah, so I didn't know who the Miz was, but I mean, I feel like I got a good idea from this, and I am fine not seeing much more of him. Is that
okay? Because we have plenty of questions about this. Yeah, for anyone who didn't do the Google deep dive or the Mike Bloom deep dive, the Miz was on Real World New York, Back to New York, I think it was. And I recall watching, I'm looking at Wikipedia now, it was 2001. So I was 10 or 11 years old and I watched that season.
So inappropriate. Like I talked about before.
I had a reality television like blog at Northwestern.
God, and you're so cool.
I know, it's like shocking that like I make time to talk to you, Angela, on this podcast. I'm so above it. But I one of the things I talked about was like watching reality shows before they were age appropriate with like my thumb on the remote. And that's like what I was watching. Like I was watching The Real World when I absolutely shouldn't have been. And that's why I'm such a terrible person. But blame my parents. or blame The Miz. So what I remember about The Miz most of all is like Coral, who was a MTV staple.
Right. And even I know who Coral is. Like, I didn't watch The Real World religiously, but I even know who that is, you know?
Right, exactly. She's famous. And she and The Miz had, like, this, like, racial summit, basically, through the season of The Real World, because Miz was, like, let's just say, like, not so tolerant. And it was just, like, really amazing television. Even at 11, you know, I was appreciating it. So The Miz has transcended his challenge fame, as he self-declared him a WWE monument, god, legend, whatever he said sure about himself. But, and I could, you know, takes one to know one. I would love to give myself a stronger introduction than I do in the show. Like, you know, I'm like, and here comes legendary podcast host of a so-so television show.
I'm Allison pretty sure Lasher. You said, here comes Ali Lasher painfully hosting the challenge recap this week. I'm pretty sure that's how you introduced yourself this week.
Yeah, my ego takes a backseat when the microphone comes on. No, and I called the challenge so-so. I meant like so-so viewed. Yeah. Like well, not a lot of people. It's a great show.
That's true. Right.
I'm going to get this back on track and I'm going to have Lita Broman help me. So there was mixed reviews about the hosting and I'm curious to get your perspective. So first, Lita said how much of a new appreciation to these reunion shows I wish I could read. How much of a new appreciation do these reunion shows give you for Jeff Probst? And then Ashley Bedazowitz says, how fabulous was Miz as a host? Can we have him host all the challenge reunions? So where do you stand?
Well, so I think the issue comes from that the reunion is hosted by somebody different than hosted the show. So with something like Survivor, it's congruous with it's the same person. So Jeff Probst is like so connected to these people. He knows
you don't want
to
bring Brian Gumbel back on to host.
No, thank you. And like, there's something about TJ that's just like so fun and like crazy and like ridiculous that I think that it would just be fun to have him there being like, so Camilla, how did you feel about when? And like just like completely like terrible reunion hosting. You know, that's the thing is like he won't be good at it, but it would be like it would make sense because he's been there the whole time. Whereas The Miz is going to be the guy that is about the drama and the relationships and all of that. So I thought he was fine. I didn't really get it because I again, like I didn't know who he was, but if the reunion is about us just delving into the drama that is the challenge from a perspective of their characters, then sure, he was great. But I can see where Lita's coming from, where it gives you like the appreciation for someone like Jeff that can do both. And that's just the challenge doesn't have that. Like TJ can't do both.
Yeah. When you look at the options, like, you have the people who are like the old, you know, they'll have Mark Long or they'll have the mm-hmm. Miz, right? That's an option. The old OG challenge vets who can host. Or they have like the girl code people like Nessa who can come host.
Yeah.
Or they go completely left field. Like Ari the One has Terrence J host the
Terrence
after
J.
show.
Where's Ryan when you need him?
So the thing is like, I feel like this is the lesser of three evils, although I think yes. Nessa's done a good job in the past. Whereas like a Terrence J, I love Terrence J, but on Are You the One, it's like he never even saw an episode and was trying to do a recap, which is, I mean, maybe we should try that one time, do a podcast of a show we haven't watched, but I imagine it would go almost as poorly as Terrence J's after shows.
Yeah, like the Miz clearly knew what he was talking about. Like, he had at least seen the show. So that was good.
The one thing I'll say about the Miz, and this can be ironic coming from me, he really interrupted everyone. Like, he just... Yeah, and-
as I just interrupted you as well. Sorry, amazing.
But like, but he just like, I remember it at first I was like, okay, this is incredibly disorganized. He's just going like person to person and not really letting them talk. But it hit me the most when he went to Darrell, because he was like, and how did that feel? Like coming back after 7 years. And then he, instead of just letting Darrell answer how did it feel, he's like, were you like nervous? And he just like said a 10 sentence question, and then Darrell was just like, yes.
And my favorite part about The Miz was that at the end of every segment, his was like, well, you guys are clearly not friends.
Yeah.
That was like his, like his, like his button on each scene, which was like, well, clearly Camilla and Amanda are not friends. Clearly Laurel and Cara Maria are not friends right now. And it's like, okay, well, we get it. Like clearly they're not friends. Like, is that like supposed to be like the motif of the entire reunion show? But yeah, no, I can see how that he just didn't quite have it together, but it could have been much worse. So I wasn't hating it, but it was fine.
I promise you that this is going somewhere, but are you playing the new app game Sweeping the Nation called Stop?
No, what is that?
Okay, so it's like sort of like categories where they give you like five categories and a letter and you write something. And one of the categories they always put is things that get better in time. And I feel like The Miz should be a special answer for that, because he will, if he continues to host, I feel like he'll get better. Like, it got better throughout the show.
Yeah.
And I just think like he looks like somebody who's like on their first try doing something like this, and I think he'll be better. I hope also that his outfit choices get better, because if you just break down this look for a second, I know no one is here to listen to this, but he was wearing a tuxedo jacket, a bright pink pocket square, and then like a cotton t-shirt with skull buttons on it.
And it was confusing because everyone else was dressed very strangely too. Like, nobody was really dressed formally. And like, I wasn't quite sure what the dress code was, because Cara Maria was wearing, you know, her usual, like all like she was looking kind of fancy, but then like Camilla was wearing a see-through outfit with like a thong. Like, I was like, and then I think Bananas was in his like t-shirt. Like, the whole thing was not good, and everyone was like sort of joking that Ashley got a boob job. Like, so maybe he was just trying to go with the flow there with his tuxedo. I don't, but it wasn't good. No, it was Trace bad. Trey bad.
I look forward to the reunion, because they're always like surprisingly horrendous fashion choices. Like, we've seen like bejeweled chokers. We've seen like makeup to the point where people are unrecognizable.
And nobody talks to one another. Like, nobody says we're all going to dress like this.
Oh, no. Literally, Laurel's in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We have Corey with his like pit stain sweatshirt. And I'm a very sweaty person, but like, if I'm going to be on television, I'm going to get that checked out before I'm flapping my arms around.
You're also not going to be on television for that long. Like, how do you, how are you sweating that much? Like,
those lights can be hot. I went to see Steve Harvey in the audience, and I almost passed out. Just saying.
I mean, yeah, but not that hot. Like, not that hot.
Well, when you're as drunk as they definitely were.
Yeah, and like Ashley was wearing that like leather, like booby dress. Like, just like all the boobs were out there. But whatever. To each their own. And Shane was wearing like a hoodie.
I promise we will now talk about the reunion. Thanks, everyone, for... I want to say thanks for bearing with us, but I feel like this was like 14 minutes of very solid content. So you're welcome,
everyone.
Isn't
that what this is what the reunion is. I don't know what people are tuning in for, if they're tuning in for anything else.
Moving on
to the next section, which I have titled Lesbian Drama.
Oh, wait.
That's not the next section.
I just want to, first of all,
there's more before that.
But there is a little more before that, but I can't wait. I'm writing that down so I remember. Lesbian drama. The best kind. Well, one thing is, when CT says that he just doesn't want his kid to be me, am I alone in feeling like I relate to that?
That's what
I'm going to say about my kid. I want better for my kid than
he says,
screaming at people on a podcast.
I don't want my son to be me.
Do you want him to be Mike, though?
No. Maybe a little. Mike's great, but yeah, I feel like the combo of us is just going to be a shitstorm. It's just going to be so much. There's, that child is going to have so much anxiety, and also just like so much. Like, there's just going to be like, it's going to want to be making jokes all the time, and just like also like be wanting to be really nice. Like, it's just going to be so confused. Like, our children are going to have problems. It's fine.
I also have been shitting on Mike unnecessarily this whole pie. I don't know why. I'm like a big fan of Mike Bloom's. I'm just like, would you want him to be Mike though?
Like, I mean, I am too, but like, what else are we going to do?
You're married to him.
Yeah.
I'm just like a fan.
It's kind of fun. He asks for it sometimes. He leaves his socks on the floor. That Mike Bloom. Ugh. Okay, I shook my hand in the air like as if he were here. Like, grr.
One thing we have to get to before we get to the lesbian drama. We have to talk about Corey, because the Miz lands such a burn.
Sorry, I just remembered.
He literally has Corey in his sights, one shot, like kill shot for Corey here, saying, you're not good at puzzles or endurance. Well, what exactly are you good at? And Mike Christian, oh God, the font is so small and I'm so old. Christensen. Says, for a while, I think Brian's been saying Corey is the future of the challenge. After a crappy finish and general bad attitude at the reunion, does that still stand true?
Corey's bad attitude. I mean, Corey did have a bad attitude. His tude was like down the toilet. So this was the segment where they showed the clip of The Miz competing, putting the fish together, right?
Yes, which I love that throwback.
Yeah, there's like classic. Super, like so old school, like classic. And he was like putting the fish together. And then Ashley's like, that's a challenge they do at Cracker Barrel. Like, that's a kid's game. And then she's like, well, then why couldn't you guys do it? And so Corey gets like super salty about it. And he's just like, I don't know, man, I'm not good at puzzles. And then he's sad for the rest of the episode until he gets angry.
Well, he totally let Bananas like answer for him, because he was just like, well, Corey's good at getting girls, and Corey's just like, yes.
Yeah, it specifically says good at taking girls down in the house.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Good at puzzles or endurance.
Like, I mean, I did give Brian a chance to answer this question, because it was a little bit of like a Miz type burn at Brian. So I texted him this, and Brian just sent a shrug emoji, so, or gif or something. So no help there.
So unbrand.
But I'm willing to say that there may be a Brian declaring someone the future of the challenge curse, because the last time Brian did this was with Jordan, who you will recognize from Champions versus
Mustache.
Pros. Yeah, the mustachioed gentleman on
mustache.
That. And I agreed, like, I'm fully agreed. And I do still think Corey's the future of the challenge. Like, he's not going anywhere anytime soon just because he sucks.
He's just Debbie Downer this reunion.
Yeah, terrible. Jordan quit, like, doing the challenges, like, retired from the challenges very shortly after Brian declared him the future of the challenge. So I feel like there's a Kirk Clark type curse happening here.
Uh-oh.
Where it's just like, anytime Brian declares someone the future, like, there's a major hurdle that gets in their way.
Well, we'll see. Mark it down. Today's the day.
I'm just grateful there's no chance he will ever declare me the future of anything, so I feel like I'm pretty safe.
Well, you're the future of America.
Okay.
Whoops,
I think,
just kidding.
I think you know what time it is now.
Yeah,
it's a quarter to lesbian time. Drama.
It's a quarter past lesbian drama. So apparently she wasn't invited, but she is a guest on the Challenge Invasion 2017 reunion special. Nicole.
Edward Morris wanted to know, should Nicole have been there from the start? Was this the most confusing thing ever?
Was she not supposed to? Maybe she was like gonna be away and she wasn't gonna be there, and then she could be there. So whatever, they introduce her as a special guest. Like, I was like, oh yeah, it's gonna be Nicole. Like, they're dating. So weird. So she comes out and she smackaroos a good one right on Laurel. And therefore the drama commences between Laurel and Cara Maria and Nicole. And I just got super confused because the timeline of this made no sense to me.
We're going to work through this together, but because a lot of what I said was like, a lot of what I have in my notes is like, what? Like, hope Angela can explain.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think I
would like to question your assessment that this was a good one that she planted on Laurel, because I felt like this was such an awkward, like, clearly they had just been backstage together.
Yeah, that was
clearly so, they did not, this was not a surprise. And she, like, half, it's like a face smush slash like half body roll. I was so, like, put off by this interaction. I was like, just let's not try to pretend like this is a long term reunion. Like, this is not like you were away.
Don't they live together? Like,
they are long distance, but, like, still, like, you clearly were together last night. You were together today. Like, this is not like a surprise thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was sarcasm when I said it was a good one. I didn't really have any opinion on the
stand
quality.
Stand by your statements, Angela Bloom.
I don't think I had any opinion on the quality of the smackaroo, just that it happened. But they basically start out by talking about the Miz is like, hey, Laurel, like, why are you a lesbian now? And Laurel basically goes into this whole, and this is kind of, this got me. I was emotional when she started talking about DM's passing and how that made her do things she wouldn't have never done. And it made her explore dating women, and that they've been dating for 5 months now and blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. And then the shit hit the fan. And this is where things just got super confusing.
Yeah, I agree that the DM thing was a really nice tribute in that, like, life is short and I kind of need to do what makes me happy. But what I thought was strange, even for the Kara thing, like, they play on those unfortunate sound bites of Laurel and Nicole, or like Nicole being like, Kara is still my main though, like, whatever.
Oh my God, it was so terrible. I felt like it completely undermined their relationship. It just made it seem like it was such, like, nonsense. Like, what are they even doing?
It wasn't good for them for kind of getting through it. However, I feel like they both have had this, like, narrative in their head that they've been okay with. And, like, whatever it takes to get you through the day, like, you're in love, great, amazing. But let's not, like, pretend that, like, you should somehow be mad at Kara or, like, it's just, like, you know, she's almost giving, like, a boys will be boys thing to Nicole. Like, everyone knows Nicole is like this. It should have been Kara. And, like, clearly Laurel's saying this to, like, justify her relationship with Nicole.
Like, they're almost like Monday morning quarterbacking the whole thing, where Laurel's coming out and saying, like, everyone knows what Nicole is like. Nicole went in there and she flirted with every single female in the entire house. She went up to every single female and she flirted with them. And me and Laura, me and Cara Maria were the only ones that bit. And Cara Maria should have known that I had an emotional attachment and she should have backed off. And it's her fault for not doing that. And once she knew that, blah, 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 and she just goes on to this whole thing. And I'm like, okay, number one, like, no, like, Nicole did not flirt with every single woman in the house. She flirted with you and she flirted with Cara Maria. Like, she didn't go after Ashley. She wasn't going after Amanda. Like, she was flirting with you and she was flirting with Cara Maria. Like, that was it. So it's like, you know, you can't just say, like, that she's a, like, yes, she's a flirtatious person, but it's like, you can't do the boys will be boys thing. That's not an excuse for treating someone poorly. And while this episode, you know, while this episode was going on, like, during the season, like, I was not a fan of Nicole doing this. I, like, if a guy had done this, I would have been, like, not cool with it either. So I'm glad that they moved past it and they're happy and that's great. But, like, it's not Cara Maria's fault. Like, that's for darn tootin' sure.
And yeah, her comments weren't like, oh, like, if I could just get with anyone in the house. Like, they were like, Cara, Cara, Cara. And
yeah.
The other thing is, like, what I would have preferred for, and look, like, no one's perfect and they're literally telling themselves this story. And I know that they believe it, but, like, well, what I would have liked to hear as an audience member is, like, those comments were tough to hear. It was, like, before we had this, like, real connection. Now that we've had the opportunity to get to know each other better, she, like, has chosen me. But prior, like, previously, like, it was what it was and it sucked, you know, like,
yeah, like,
just,
she clearly liked Cara Maria. She had feelings for her. But, like, once she got to know me as a person, like, we felt like we were what we both needed at the time. And now we're moving forward together. The end. Moving on.
Right.
Like, so why? I just don't understand why Laurel is so upset with Cara Maria. Like, what is her reasoning for being so upset with Cara? Is it that Cara Maria was pursuing Nicole? Because I didn't think that Cara Maria was pursuing Nicole. But Laurel has taken Cara Maria's number out of Nicole's phone and is refusing to allow them to communicate, like, currently in May 2017, like, right now.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, like, she does get a little bit of ownership here when Bananas kind of calls it out and says, like, and part of me is like, Bananas, that's not your business. And part of me is like, we all wanted someone to say that. Where he's like, what if Laurel had gone home in that elimination? Like, you'd never be together. And there was a smidgen of ownership when Laurel's like, okay, I wasn't going to let that happen, but yeah, we wouldn't be together right now, probably, if that happened. And that was...
But she probably still wouldn't be with Cara, you know, like...
Oh, she definitely wouldn't be with Cara Maria, because Cara wasn't into her. But I agree with you. It kind of just seems like Laurel has to be mad at someone in the situation, and if she's mad at Nicole, they're not together, so she's mad at Cara. You know what I mean? Like, she shifts the blame to make her story work better for her.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, it's suspicious that Nicole told Cara, oh, Laurel blocked your number in my phone, not I blocked your number. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really an ally in your relationship, then why aren't you saying I chose not to talk to you anymore?
Yeah, I do get a kind of a sneaky vibe from Nicole throughout this whole thing, where like she's like, especially from her confessionals in the beginning, where she's saying all this stuff about Cara Maria, you know, it's like, why would she have said that stuff? And why would, like we said before, like, why wouldn't she just come out and say, like, yeah, I said that stuff and I did feel that way about Cara Maria. Now I don't, because I love Nicole, or I love Laurel. Like, I don't feel that way now. Like, why wouldn't she just say that? Like, I do get this like suspicious, fishy vibe about that. So who knows? I mean, are they meant to be together forever? We may never know, but clearly Laurel and Cara Maria are not friends. Thanks, The Miz, for letting us know.
So
we weren't sure until he told us.
Brian Cohen wrote in and said, my antennas are sharply raised by this Laurel / Cara feud. Real or just looking for an easy payday from Rivals 37 approximate number? Is this a ploy? Are we falling for their deceitful tricks?
No, I don't know. Weren't they rivals in the last one?
Yeah, they've been rivals before.
They made up, and then they're friends, and now they're rivals again. I don't know. I feel like, I'm not sure the MTV would go for that.
Yeah, Edward Morris wrote, like, how long until Laura and Cara are friends again? That's literally what my reaction was, because I've seen this makeup breakup thing with them 1,000 times. So I feel like it might be different because now there's like a relationship element. But if Laurel and Nicole ever break up, like, her and Cara will certainly be friends again.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that there's much there content wise when it comes to like a beefy MTV drama.
I'd rather see Nicole and Cara as rivals.
Oh, my God. Yes. Do that. That's where the rivals are. That would be sweet.
Okay, so we have
some Mr. more hookups. Bloom.
Well, we have a question first from your favorite hookup, Mr. Mike Bloom. Should Angela and I go on a double date with Laurel and Nicole next time they're on the East Coast?
Can you do a Nicole accent?
Almost never.
Oh, I'm peanut butter. I can't either. I'm not very good at it.
You just act like you have rocks in your mouth. So I don't know what I'm going to say. Angela, want to go on a date with me?
You want to go on a date with me and Laurel? And we're gonna go eat some peanut butter. We'll go to Coney Island and we'll have some snow cones.
That's my girl.
That's my girl. No, we should not go on a date with them because I would probably murder Nicole. But that's just my take. She's a great, great competitor on the challenge. I enjoy watching her, but I would not be her friend in real life, probably. But that's just my hot take.
I just got a little out of control and accidentally punched the microphone. So if anybody heard that, my apologies. Speaking of not being friends, let's talk about Jenna and Zach, because this is just like the thorn in my side that keeps on like causing me residual pain every time it comes up. The last time Jenna and Zach broke up and he ghosted her, I honestly thought that was gonna be the last time I had to deal with this. And here we are again.
Throughout the season, it was nonsense as well.
Jenna saying, like, well, he owns the fact that he's a terrible boyfriend. Like, oh my God, this is what's wrong with this country.
Jenna's just, she makes me so sad. I feel so bad for her, and it just makes me upset. But she does own up to kissing Bruno on the plane, finally.
That was so crazy.
It is juicy. I needed that confirmation.
I just, like, couldn't believe that she's saying, like, yeah. Like, that was her acknowledgement. Just like, Miz is like, you and Bruno on the plane. She's like, Yeah.
But then she goes on to say that they didn't, like, in very graphic terms, they didn't, like, go any further than kissing. And, like, they're like, can we stop calling it that about the way you were saying it?
Yeah, Big Daddy CT is like, could we knock up, like, my children will see this one day.
Yeah. So they admit to kissing, but nothing more than that. And then as soon as they get to the shelter, that's done. It's over. And she says her and Zach are not together, but she still wants to date him.
Well, it's like, I was shocked to hear that they dated for 2 months. And then,
yeah,
like,
of course they did. She's addicted to Zach.
She's
like
totally
heroin.
She is totally like protecting him in the sense that she's like, oh, yeah, we dated for 2 months after the show. And then he doesn't know what he wants. So I had to leave. And then he said we could be friends. And then he ghosted me. Like, what is that is like, for any Seinfeld fan, that is the yada, yada, yada of this story. The quote, he doesn't know what he wants. Like, did he cheat on you to demonstrate that he doesn't know what he wants? Did he break up with you to demonstrate he doesn't know what happened there? Something else occurred. And she still has, like, she has Stockholm syndrome. She can't, like, call this guy out for what he is.
Makes me so sad. And I love her, too. She is so, like, genuinely, like, sweet. So it just does make me a little upset. But I mean, hopefully she can move on.
Where was he? Like, I have a couple questions about where people were. Why wasn't Bruno there? I mean,
they
Bruno
were not
has
invited
nothing better
special
to do.
Guests. They were not special guests on tonight's reunion.
See, my thinking is Zach might be the only person who was invited and said no and declined.
Right. Yeah, because that makes sense to me. I could see that.
How do they not want him on there to confront the situation?
Yeah, because I feel like that would have been great conflict. The whole, like, they're going to have a whole section right next to lesbian drama called Zach is a Zach and Jenna. It's like Jack and Diane. Zach
heterosexual
and Jenna.
Drama.
Yeah, heterosexual
classify
drama.
It. Let's do that. So, yeah, poor Jenna. I mean, good for her for, like, sort of moving on, but, like, Bruno was, like, a questionable choice. I don't understand how.
Also,
like,
I've been on planes before, and like, how drunk were they that they were like, yeah, like, let's go, like, make out in the bathroom on the plane.
Did they even go to the bathroom? Are we not clear?
So like, so apparently they did go to the bathroom and they did, like, make out in the bathroom. And that's why it's unclear. It was very unclear to everyone whether or not it was kissing versus something else.
Because I thought there was, like, that whole one blanket issue that it might have been, like, in the seats.
I don't know. Could be.
It's a long flight. It's a long
Could
flight
be.
To Thailand.
Either way, like, planes are no fun. Like, I get super nauseous on planes. And, like, even if it was in the bathroom, like, those bathrooms are no fun. I don't know, man.
Speaking
it's not sexy.
Of
that's
no
for sure.
fun and not sexy. Let's talk about Corey and Kayla.
Corey and Kayla. Oh,
what the
Kayla.
Flapjacks was this about?
Like, okay, so
this was
I didn't
crazy.
Even remember that they were a thing. This is how far away this was. So Corey, the hoe of the season. So I remember that him and Camilla had cooked up because it happened so currently. Like, it happened
that
so
we could keep in our minds. That's yes. there.
So him and Kayla hooked up, like, right away. Like, right, like, when they got to the shelter, basically, really. Right? That was, like, a thing?
Oh, yeah. They were, like, instant buds. Yeah. And by buds, I don't mean buds.
No, you mean, like, their sexual budding intention.
Sexual buds, yes. That's okay. Perfect. We just coined a new phrase.
Sexual buds. Ew.
That's going to be sweeping
almost,
the nation.
Almost too sexual. But so they were hooking up. But, yeah, Kayla, I guess so Kayla was waiting for him after the show was over? Question mark? That's what I got out of the whole situation. Is that what you got out of the whole situation?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I feel like Corey really screws himself here because he's like, he's trying to paint her as a hoe, basically, and is like, oh, yeah, you're with someone else now, so, like, you can't even be mad. But I really do believe Kayla. Like, Kayla's saying, like, I was waiting for you. I imagine they may have had a conversation that was like, you know, wait for me, whatever.
Yeah, like, I
Corey
really
leaves
like
the
you
house.
Or...
Here's where Corey's, we're catching him red-handed. He admits, as though it's a pro for him, that he called Kayla and said, told her everything that had happened. Why would you have done that if you didn't owe her anything?
Yeah, like, so, why would you even, like, bother reaching out if you weren't interested in even, like,
being a friend or a connection.
Exactly. And if you have no like obligation to her at all, like why are you even calling her and telling and like filling her in? So I feel bad for Kayla in that respect. But, you know, all's fair in love and the challenge, I guess.
And she has moved on. So like, but, I mean, I guess like you don't always let these grudges go, even if you think you have let them go.
I've always wondered that, like, if you're the current, because this happens a lot where like there's somebody with a boyfriend on a reality TV show who's like crying at a reunion about an old flame, even though they've quote unquote moved on. How do you feel as that guy like watch? Because she was like crying, like that was like very real. And I'm like, clearly she's not over it.
I mean, I guess you, I mean, that's kind of hard because I feel like even like in, I mean, this is like, I could think of people like from like younger days, like first loves and all of that, that like still like if you were to like bring that up, I would get like mad about, because like
I guess that's fair,
you know, like that's if somebody hurts you, they hurt you, and if you like think about it and you think about the way it makes you feel, it's still gonna upset you even if you don't have feelings for them. So she might have just been mad about it, not so much like I still like him, but whatever.
No, that's fair. And just to update, we had from social media, Kayla, this is what Corey was talking about. They got like these like melting pizza heart tattoos. It's like basically a heart that
her
looks
and
her like pizza.
New boyfriend.
Yeah. And he, so he is Mikey P. And I was like, that name is familiar. He was on Dating Naked. I recognized him from Dating Naked. And he was like rumored to have been dating Jenna for a while. So he's just like, I doubt his intentions completely. Because
yeah, he's
just like
making
his way through. Exactly. And I want to thank Megan Schultz, who slid into my DMs as she did Brian's when I was very disappointed last week to hear that Brian got Twitter help that I've never gotten. So all the Twitter info is coming from her. I appreciate it. But yeah, Corey's an asshole. I just think like he's not good enough at the challenge, and he's an asshole.
Yeah,
I'm happy to see him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He makes for fun TV.
So what do you make of the whole Camilla element to this? Like,
apart from her with the Corey stuff of it, the next section of the reunion is Camilla and Amanda, right?
Camilla's butt and Amanda.
Camilla's butt, Amanda, and then like Hunter and Amanda and Nelson, and like everyone's yelling at each other. And then the PA speaker saying, everyone sit down.
So this is the big breaking news. I don't know if Mike filled you in on this, but like when Amanda calls out Camilla for hooking up with Vince, Vince is Johnny's cousin.
Right.
And Camilla and Johnny have hooked up also. So it's all in the family.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So Amanda basically calls out Camilla, is like, Camilla is a hoe. Like, she's terrible. She's like a big old slut. And this prompts Camilla to like get up and start like flipping off Amanda and just like dancing and like twerking in her face, I guess. And this is all because the Miz is like, what about Amanda and Camilla and their pranks, you know, like, and like how Amanda and Camilla got in a big old fight, and that was like Amanda when she started yelling like bye, like boy bye, but like not boy bye. And like this is like just the weirdest thing I've ever seen, right?
I guess the question that still remains for me is there truth to what Amanda was saying? And I have to believe yes, because there was a scene.
So what was Amanda saying?
The Vince thing that they hooked, the Vince. I'm still not over that. They're like, they hooked up because Vince had a long-term girlfriend.
And this is after the show.
No, I think they're saying they hooked up last season.
Right.
Or like on Bloodwater. Bloodlines.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because there was a scene that they showed. I forget if it was in the show or if it was like in an after show, but it was like Camilla and Vince, like sort of like it implied that they were in the shower together, but it was like the timeline was confusing. And somehow like they came off unscathed, where everyone was like, okay, well, like they didn't hook up, whatever, because Camilla and Johnny have hooked up and Vince has a girlfriend anyway, and like it would just be so weird. But like I'm inclined to believe Amanda in this situation.
And Camilla is promiscuous. Like, I mean, she doesn't pretend not to be. She does what she wants to do.
Vince is gross. Vince is so gross.
Yeah. But you give her some drinks, I guess.
Yeah, prison. So they're in prison there. I say that as cool. Yeah. It's prison theory. Then he's starting to look better every day that goes on in the house.
Oh, my God. Another prison hookup is
Another prison hookup gone by. So they dance at each other, and then Ashley has a tiff with somebody because Nelson and Hunter get into words with each other because Ashley says that she kissed Nelson, which leads Hunter. Right.
I have to just fully like enjoy they dance at each other as like one of the best lines that ever been said on this podcast.
This is how I recap. I just like have to go through it all. Otherwise, I will die.
They dance at each other. Yes. And then, so this was confusing because I don't believe that they were going to air this clip of like Nelson and Amanda and Ashley kissing. And she's like, all right, I know you're going to air it. So I made out with Nelson and I'm just going to own my shit.
I don't think they were going to air it either because it doesn't make any sense with any of the other storylines.
And nobody cares. Like, it's so stupid. What a mistake she made, but like, who cares?
And then Hunter's all upset because he expected it from Ashley, but Nelson was his boy and he trusted him. And then that's it. And we don't ever hear about it again.
Okay, Hunter is like a disgusting trash person, honestly. Like, I'm trying to give Hunter the benefit of the doubt to the most.
Yeah,
because
he wants to make a gym for special needs kids.
But when he's like, a female can be replaced, but a bro.
Oh my god! I love the when he said like, that, no, I almost threw up all over the screen. When he said
female,
that,
a female.
Oh, garbage!
If I were
human.
Ashley, that's garbage. Like one of those things where you like make a decision, and then afterwards, it's like such profound regret. Like when those words came out of his mouth, like you have to believe Ashley has never felt more regret in her entire life.
She probably went home and like got like a tongue replacement or something because she like couldn't stand to have the same tongue that touched his tongue.
Was she gonna afford it? But yeah,
she can because you know money.
Do you think we're gonna see Hunter on another challenge?
No.
Do you think he's gonna get
no? Because I don't think he's I don't think he's engaging in the same way that like someone like Corey is, and I don't think that he's good enough like challenge wise either. In my opinion.
Like, I agree. I feel like he's filling, like, they always have, like, a country guy role. Like, he's filling, like, this sort of Cajuta space, except that
he's, like, not like, good at those, it.
Those boys are normally nice boys. Like, this
yeah,
guy
so he's, like,
is
not
a trash
good at that.
Person. Yeah, he's horrible. I feel like we probably will see him again, but I really don't want to. And I don't think he's long for this world. Like, I imagine they may do another season or two with this nonsense. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the producers at this point, like, can't be a fan of him either.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, this is all just like, it's just like hearsay and we don't know. But like, I don't think that he, like, judging by the way he speaks to Ashley, like, I imagine a majority of the producers are female. I don't think that they would be handling that well as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anywho.
But. At this point, like, then Camilla twerks again, and I'm like, all right, it was, like, sort of funny the first time in the sense that it was, like, so bizarre. Right.
Well, because they start talking about the pranks, and this is, like, in reference to when Ashley flips her lid at the, when...
Chipgate.
Yes, Chipgate, and when she, like, starts going nuts and basically, like, claiming she's gonna quit, right?
Yeah, well, I agree here with Will Simon, who says, I love Camilla, but is this angry twerk played out? Like, the first time she did it, I thought it was a weird move, because it was, like, a clear admission that she had hooked up with Vince when she first did it.
Yeah.
Like, when you have nothing to say, but just, like, twerking at her in, like, an outfit you clearly wore planning to twerk at someone.
Yeah.
And then following that up, Ashley Bedazowicz says, what was Camilla wearing? Like, what was that, like, body
it was like
suit?
It was like a bathing suit cover up, but she was just wearing underneath, like just underwear, I guess.
It was, I mean, she's got a nice butt, but like, wow.
And then the whole thing just turned into her like shouting, like about people with speech impediments and how she like wants them to know that like they have representation in the world.
She's an activist. I will say, I read this question from Ashley Bedazowicz before I watched the episode, and so then I was like expecting some monstrosity.
So confused.
And then I see she's sitting down, and I'm like, what's wrong with this outfit? Like, she's wearing like a black dress and a choker, and then she stands up halfway through. I'm like, oh,
there's her butt.
Now I get it. And Daniel Shelley wants to know, how often do you think you will include Camilla's middle finger swoop dance into your daily life?
My daily life? Probably never. But I mean, it's a interesting statement dance move. That's for sure.
I would like to say hope for the best, expect the worst. I hope to never do that. But now that it's like been put in the noggin, I can't promise I'll never use it.
But this is where she gets in Ashley's face, and Ashley actually pushes her away. And this is where the guy comes over the loudspeaker and he's like, everyone needs to please take their seats.
Yeah, I think a man actually like landed a hand on her, which at this like I would have wanted to also. I don't condone violence, but like that twerk thing was so annoying.
Yeah, so Ashley pushes her away and they are not friends. Thanks, The Miz. He says it again, just FYI. He says,
no, that's his only wrap up.
Nobody's friends.
I'm going to end every podcast like that with Brian, like, and just to confirm, like, we're not friends.
And then we go back to, so everyone's sitting again.
Just kidding.
And we're back to talking about Nelson and how he is the challenge Invasion of the Champions number one shady dude. Right?
Now, Corey wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for Nelson by Nelson's estimation. How do we figure that?
So basically what they're saying is that during that challenge with them all tied to the thing in the middle and they have to pull away from each other, or they're all tied to each other and they have to drag each other over the line. Corey and Shane and Nelson are all tied to one another. And Nelson made plans with both Corey and Shane to basically screw both of them over so that they basically would have to then... they would both end up running in the same, a different direction, which would give him the advantage to draw himself over the line. So he screwed both of them over. And by doing that, he basically screwed Corey over and got himself in the game.
What's crazy that he's still denying this is like, I understood sort of that he was denying it at the actual elimination, but to deny it when you have the footage is absurd. Like, to still clear, like, I ran right to the middle, bro. Like, no, you didn't. A million people saw it.
No, he was like, for sure, that was like great strategy. It was like genius. And why is he not? He should be owning up to that for sure, because it was very smart.
They're all the damn same, because you have Banana saying like Nelson gamed you and like that was smart. But like, if Bananas did that, Bananas would be the first to be like, I ran to the middle. Like, Bananas doesn't own his moves. Nelson follows suit, doesn't own the moves. It's so frustrating. And then he starts saying, like, you wouldn't have even been here if it wasn't for me. I guess he's referencing the first challenge was like when they had to build those mounds and get over the wall, right?
Right.
Like,
that has nothing
to do with his overall, like, journey in the challenge. That was such a reach from Nelson. I just had no respect for him at this point, where like he can't just own that he outsmarted them and he built. It's like in Survivor, any other show, like if you
would
build
want
trust
people to know that
if you build trust to the point where somebody is willing to like bet their game on you and run to the middle and like take the risk, then you really played them. And that was a great social game move. And it's like pathetic that you can't own it now. I don't get that. That's like the one thing I really hate about the challenge.
I agree. I mean, I think that it's just like, you want people to know, like you would think you would want people to know that you're smart, but you don't. You want them to think that you're like their best friend. So totally weird.
But otherwise, I thought this scene they have, I usually look forward to the segment of like the scenes they didn't show.
Unseen
and in
footage.
Past years. Yeah. And in past years, they've done like full specials of like the shit they should have shown. This season, it was like they just showed you like a montage of like photos.
They talked
like
you about barely, it.
You barely saw like a single moment of what happened. The only thing I remembered from that was Jenna talking about catching leaves.
The only thing that I took from this was Darrell talking about being a fart attacker, and I was so disgusted by it, I was, like, done with the whole thing. And then they did the challenge awards.
Well, the other thing they had in that scene that they talked about was the burn book, and I love how, like, minutes after Ashley claims that she owns all of her shit, she's, like, denying any involvement.
She's like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about.
But this to me showed that other than what they showed on TV, they really had nothing, because this was like a very lackluster things they should have shown on the footage.
The challenge awards like definitely reminded me of the Nelson LaToya beach makeout session, which I was glad to be reminded of, because that was glorious.
I really wanted Nelson to come out or LaToya to come out to accept the award. Like, it's a surprise she was there in the wings.
Because her getting all that sand in her hair was hilarious to me.
Also, I thought the best cry, ugly cry, was rigged. I thought Kayla definitely should have won. And to me, it was an indication that the producers don't like her.
Yeah, I would say they don't like her. I mean, she seems like she's very whiny to them. And I think that she caused some issues. So that, yeah, rigged for sure.
Also, she missed out.
Quite arbitrary, these awards. So
what are you talking about?
They're real.
They're amazing.
When they give the award to Darrell and they're like, at least you won something. And he's like all upset. He's like, yep, I came in number two.
We have a couple of questions.
I will.
Not like Amanda to Camilla, but so which new rivalries and exes from the season are you looking forward to working together the most on the Inevitable Rivals 4 and Exes 3?
I don't really have a hot take on this. I think that I would enjoy seeing the Cara Maria Nicole of it all. I feel like that would be hilarious. But other than that, I mean, I feel like for the most part, everyone, I sort of got what I got out of them. What do you think?
I feel like there's a great potential for Amanda and anyone to be a rival. Like any, like Amanda and Camilla, that would be an amazing rival. Yeah.
She is a little aggressive, yes.
But I'm just looking now, and also like I always makes me wonder like who they didn't have. Like I don't know how you feel about this. Like I would rather them have the entire cast and some people don't talk than them just have a limited cast.
Because I don't remember a lot of them from the beginning. Like I'm just not even remembering half the people that were there in the shelter when they left, you know? So
I'm going through and it's like Anika, Anthony, Ashley K.
Anthony. Oh, I loved him.
R.I.P. What's the status on Marie and Anthony? We don't know.
Marie.
Bruno, Dario. Also, we're not invited or not there. I'm trying to think. LaToya, Marie. As I said, Sylvia, Theo, and Tony wasn't there and Zach wasn't there.
Yeah, so it's just like it becomes a thing where it's like I would rather see them remember that they were on the season than just like forget that they existed. So
exactly.
But yeah, I don't have any hot takes for rivals personally. I mean, I feel like the combinations are obvious or played out, but that's my take.
Yeah, I think Nelson and Corey, Amanda and anyone, they're all a possibility. Even Nelson and Hunter now, but I definitely don't want to see them as a team. That would be a nightmare.
It's terrifying.
I have my horse behind. Is that a thing? My horse behind? I don't know. I'm backing Nicole and Cara for exes or rivals.
Hilarious.
They've had people on as exes and rivals for less. Like if a Twitter feud can make somebody a rival, then a flirtation in the house can make somebody an ex. But what else do we have? Oh, Matt LaGuardia has a question for you as the host of the inaugural Dancing with the Stars podcast.
Yes.
Matt LaGuardia wants to know who from this season would be good on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like probably someone like,
do you think Camilla was jockeying for it with her twerking?
Probably, but she probably would not be very good. I imagine one of the girls, probably like Amanda or Ashley, just because they're small, petite. They could probably move pretty well. Just a guess. That's my say.
And then who, I just want to know from you, like, looking at this cast, like, who do we feel like we want to see again? Who do we definitely not want to see again? Who's done and who should come back?
I feel like I've had my fair share of, who have I had my fair share of? That's a great question. I mean, from who's made it through, I mean, it's hard to say because I would be fine seeing anyone else again, but like someone like Hunter, I really don't really need to see again. But he didn't really make it that far, you know? I want to see Shane again. I would want to see someone like Amanda again because she brought a lot of drama. I'm fine with seeing Ashley again because she did win. So that would be fun. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Amanda has like firmly rooted herself in the future of the challenge for the time being. I actually think Darrell and Shane, Darrell's agree with you about Shane.
Darrell's good.
Were big standouts for being like 7-year veterans off the show. I think they definitely proved that there's a place for some of the veterans back on the show. I hope they don't get carried away. I feel like there's definitely a time where they could over tip the balance, because if it was all Darrell's, let's say, that would be a boring season. But like 1-2 Darrell's, that's good. I totally agree about Ashley. I think Camilla is still ticking. Like, she's still giving her best. I'm almost a little bit sick of Kara, but obviously there's no chance of her coming back.
I'm almost a little sick of Camilla, too. I feel like they're probably along the same level as each other. I think it just depends on the season and if it's like a rivals who they're with, or if it's like an exes who they're with and that sort of thing. But if they're by themselves, I could probably take it. But that's probably subjective.
I also think Kayla could have a long future on the challenge, barring anything that might be in the background of like the producers hating her or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know how much I can take of her, but we'll see.
Other than that, just a couple more things from Twitter, unless I said it. Let me see. Amanda just had some nice highlights of "I'm dead at bananas" saying he would like to thank Bruno for letting MTV hold his finger.
That was so funny.
Bananas. Brian wrote like some question that was like, what was Banana's best burn? And this was it. Like, forget the his nominated burns. Like, that was amazing. And then Amanda said she can't think she's going to run up on me and I'm not going to shove her out of my space. Like, come on, dude. Eye roll emoji. And then she said Camilla is trash and that dance / outfit makes me want to vomit. Vomit emoji. Very appropriately. Segueing briefly from this season of Challenge Invasions, now that that's wrapped up, Emily Crow says, what did you think of Champs versus Pros? I was surprised at how much I like seeing Jordan again. So what was your reaction to the hit new spinoff, Champions versus Pros?
I liked it. I felt like it was kind of a fun idea. I also liked how laid back it was. I feel like it was kind of a nice sort of change of pace from a regular challenge season. I think it's interesting that, you know, they're playing for a charity. So, you know, what's on the line is that they're playing for something that's, you know, more than themselves. So I think that sort of adds to it. I will say that the characters that are the champions are great. But the characters that are the pros, I mean, just from one episode, there's only a few standouts so far. So I think we're gonna have to wait and see if they're gonna be, you know, fun to watch reality TV wise. Athleticism wise, they're great, of course. But so far, Lolo Jones is the only one that's like crazy. But yeah, I mean, it was good. I wasn't, you know, blown away, but it seems to be holding its own. What did you think from the bits that you saw?
Yeah, I think it's interesting the format where they have like a nominated captain. Like, I think that could get interesting. It's a little apprentice-y, but it's interesting. One thing I was thinking, just a couple of thoughts. Where's Banana's girlfriend? She's a professional athlete. And I'm like, what? I'm so confused that she's not on the show.
Yeah, I wonder how they picked the professional athletes. It seems like it was a little, you know, arbitrary. And I think that, I'm not sure, you know, it must be sort of scheduling wise, because these are people who are in their off season. So maybe it wasn't a workout for her scheduling wise with what she does.
I think she does winter sports, though. Like, you would think that like that would be the easiest get, but who knows? The other thing is, I was talking to my brother last night, who's a UFC fan, and he told me that it's bullshit that CM Punk builds himself as a UFC fighter because he like did one fight and got the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, but okay. Who knew?
I don't know. I can't. That's just, you know, come for my brother if you have an issue with it. That's not on me.
That's a good point, actually, because I don't know a lot about these. These are sort of the back end of sports people. Like, these are not well-known sports competitors in my book. Like, Mike told me, and he wanted me to tell you that he really likes Louise Hazel, and he feels like she's gonna be it when it comes to the pros. But like, I didn't even know who that was, so it's like, I'm like, you know, it's like these are people that I'm not super familiar with. So he could have been a very good UFC fighter for all I know.
The one other thing I want to say is Veronica, I missed somehow on this cast list. So I don't understand. Last week we talked on the show that Veronica like says she'll never come back and she's rumored to be on next season of The Challenge. But like, how do you say you're never going to come back and then you're on this? Like, this is close enough to coming back. Obviously, it's not coming back, but it's you're on television again. So
I imagine it was the charity of it all that got her on. But
that's the other thing I want to say. Two things that really impressed me. One, I didn't realize it was for charity. So I'm less hateful about this existing as a whole, because even my icy heart has a melts a little bit for charity. And then I loved the professional NBA, WNBA player. It was like reverence for Durrell. Just I've been watching the show. That was awesome.
I'm sad that she went home because I feel like she was like the biggest fan.
Sometimes I can bite you in the ass, you know?
It's true. It's true.
Too starstruck.
Yeah, I think that it'll be an enjoyable show to watch if you have the time to sort of commit to just sort of catching it on the fly. It seems like it's traditionally very much like The Challenge with a few little changes here and there, but also sort of has the fun of it being sort of an off-season type of thing.
Yeah, I still think it's a strange choice, but hey, they're raising money for charity, so I can't really say anything negative about it otherwise.
Exactly. And I think that did make me feel a little bit better while I was watching it as well.
So I think that's it for the show. Thank you so much for joining me, us, the world.
No problem.
So you're doing like a hot RHAP's hottest new podcast on the Rehab Up Network.
Yeah, so I'm doing a Rehab Up weekly with Kelly on the Dancing with the Stars show on ABC. As if people don't know what it is. Dancing with the Stars. We did semifinals this week, so actually next week is our last podcast. They are doing the finale on Tuesday, so we will hopefully be releasing that podcast next week. And then I know that The Bachelorette comes back next week as well. I think that my lovely husband, Michael Bloom, will be doing a preview of some sorts with that.
What?
I know. I'm not
sure,
though.
Is this a hot take?
It might be a hot take. I might have released
exclusive.
Something. Might be exclusive, but either way, that's coming back. So, you know, we will be trading off with them for the happiness of it all. But yeah, so check us out on that. You could also go back and listen to us. We did one for
I will be
every-
doing that for anyone who wants to join me. As soon as I'm done, I have like another thing of work. No one gives a shit on Thursday. And then I will be doing a deep dive into Dancing with the Stars. So if anyone wants to tweet at me about the podcast or the show, I'm available to do that.
It's been a really good season. So definitely check it out. And you can find me on the internet at Ange Palaggi, AngPalaggi. Other than that, I am just around here in the world hanging out,
living life.
Living life. Yeah,
so you can follow me at Lash Tweets. I should be pretty quiet on the mic for the foreseeable future. We shall see. Thanks everyone for joining us, bearing with us through scheduling and amazing substitutes and all of that nonsense. We will see you back for the historic 30th season of The Challenge. Hope to be able to get you on to talk about that too, Angela.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So as Brian would say, until then, I'm sorry. I messed up. If you want to subscribe or leave us reviews, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And now, as Brian would say, until then, have a good one.
Bye.